Hello, this is Pastor Robert Venable. Welcome to Let's Talk About Jesus. It's my privilege to invite you to stay tuned to this broadcast today. And it's my prayer that God will speak to you by His Spirit as we study His wonderful Word. You receive this broadcast in Madison, Florida over WMAF Radio. We want to thank you for letting us be a part of your devotional dive. And if you receive this broadcast as it streams from this radio station to the World Wide Web, we welcome you again to Let's Talk About Jesus. If you're listening in another state in the USA, glad you're with us. If you're listening from another country, we're glad that this broadcast is able to go from here to wherever in the world God wants to send it. When we began this broadcast, we claimed a scripture in Psalm 107 that said He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. What a wonderful scripture concerning the power of God's word to bring a faith into the heart of man, to trust in the Lord and look to the Lord so that God can work His wonders in your life. The greatest wonder, the greatest miracle that God could possibly do in the human life experience is to save our immortal, eternal soul. So if you're not a Christian today, we pray you'll stay tuned as we study from the Word of God, that you will come to an understanding of how much God loves you and how much He wants to be your Heavenly Father, so that you can trust your life, everything you are, you have in this world, and everything that concerns eternity, that you can trust your soul and its destiny to Him. He will take good care of you here, and He promised to make sure that you are with Him there. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be a Christian today, not just a preacher, but a Christian. We're presently studying the great subject of enduring faith, patience, an essential to holding on faith. And this is a subject that is so crucial and critical to us as we pray, as we stand upon God's word to receive His answers, as to receive His promises. We need to develop in this great virtue of faith. It's kind of like flying in an airplane. You need two wings to stay airborne. And faith and patience becomes those two wings in our life. If we're going to receive God's promises, if we're going to stand in faith upon His word, He sent His word, and now He wants us to be able to stand upon it. Praise God. He wants us to pray in the kind of faith that won't give in and won't give up until the answer comes. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12 through 15 is our text. And if you will open your Bibles or just open your hearts and listen to the Word of God today concerning this holding on faith. Hebrews 6, 12 through 15. And it says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. I like the Amplified. It said, after he had waited long and endured patiently. I need desperately to stand in this patient endurance. When I go to God's word and I take my stand upon a promise that He's made, if I'm praying for something and sometimes things seem to go in reverse, I need this in my life. I have pastored for 35 years all total, 34 at one place and one group of people. And I'm telling you right now, I've seen my share of trials and tests. The devil has never let up on me in all of these years. He fights what he fears, and he fears the Word of God. He fears the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He fears the mighty name of Jesus, and he fights tooth and toenail. But I'm going to tell you something. God is faithful. I can look back over 35 years and I could tell you some stories that would make your skin crawl, of battles, spiritual warfare that we've entered into in order to be standing today. But I can tell you more about a faithful God who brought us through every one. Scripture said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for God who was on our side, there's no way we could have come through these things. But he let us go far enough into trials and testings to develop a virtue that is so essential to faith that we didn't understand at first. Why didn't God come sooner? Why didn't he answer quicker? Why did he allow this pain and sometimes suffering that we experience? Why did he wait? That was the issue with Lazarus, wasn't it? Amen. He waited. They came and told him, Jesus was preaching, and they came and told him, said, you know, Lazarus is sick. He's sick unto death. And Jesus said, he kept preaching. He just kind of blew it off and kept preaching. And finally the man came back and said, Lazarus is dead. Amen. When he arrived on the scene, he was met by Martha and Mary, Lazarus' sisters. And they said to him, if you'd been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Why didn't you come sooner? You know, that becomes a question in all of our Christian lives, of why God waits sometimes. Why does he delay sometimes? And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He actually waited till it became hopeless before he walked to the entrance to that tomb and told them to roll the stone away and say, didn't I say unto you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? See, God wanted to do something more than heal a sick man. He would have got glory for that. But he got even greater glory when he raised a dead man. Praise God. He waited so that good would still come, but it would come in such a way that God, and God alone, would receive the glory, that he would be glorified. And you know, he did it in a timing. God works in precise timings. I've often said he may not be there when you want him, but he's always right on time. And I'm prone to push the panic button sometimes. My flesh doesn't want to wait. I have to really crucify my flesh in order to wait upon the Lord. But I'm learning as I go. I don't think I'll ever quit learning this great lesson in life, that waiting upon the Lord will bring great victory and tremendous dividends. Remember the scripture in the Old Testament? They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. That means endurance is developed in us. That means that we continue to keep on keeping on instead of despairing, becoming discouraged and faint-hearted. They that wait upon the Lord are not only going to receive that answer, but we're going to be developed in patient endurance in the process. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You can see that back in the Old Testament when it says, though the fig tree shall not blossom, and though there be no grain in the field or any cattle in the stall, yet I will joy in my God. I will joy in the God of my salvation, for he will make my feet like hinds' feet. Hallelujah. Amen. Literally, he will make me strong enough to stand in those high places of testing, those high places. He will give me the endurance that I need to stand in those places that I could in no way stand in my own strength. He doesn't always change the circumstance immediately. He wants to really make changes in you and changes in me. And hallelujah. That's why this trial may tell you try to tell you that God has forgotten you, that God somehow has abandoned you, that God is not going to come through. Don't listen to that. That's what your flesh will tell you. Your natural mind will tell you. The enemy of your soul will scream that at you. But I want you to know that God is faithful, and he will come in his timing. It's a matter of timing. I'm reminded of the Old Testament scenario and story of God's people being delivered from Egypt. And after that great deliverance, they were so ecstatic. I mean, they were thrilled to be free people. Moses had come to take them out, deliver them out, and God had brought them out with a great hand of deliverance. But they came up against the mighty Red Sea, and there was nowhere else to go, and Pharaoh's army pursued them with the intent to slaughter them and kill them. And they immediately began to lose faith when they couldn't see any way out of their circumstance, because God didn't just take them out, part the sea, bring them over, part Jordan, take them in. He brought them up against the Red Sea, and then God delayed the answer. While he delayed, they could see the dust from an army that no army in the world at that time was greater than this Egyptian army. They were armed, and they were coming with hate to kill and destroy, not to take them back into bondage, but to slaughter them, wholesale slaughter. And they said, we wish we had died in Egypt than to perish out here. They became terribly discouraged. And the only thing that kept Pharaoh from closing in was that night fell before he could find them. And that night, I believe they didn't huddle around fires. They probably slept in the dark, and they were shuddering and wondering, what will the dawn bring? When the sun comes up in the morning, this army's going to close in on us. That's despair, friend. That is coming to a place of hopelessness, because we're coming to a place of helplessness. Now, I want you to hear this very clearly. God's delays are not his denial. And sometimes he waits until we get to a place of helplessness before he moves, so that we are developed in patience, and so that his name is glorified when the answer comes. One thing for sure, when God waits until it's that kind of situation, when it happens, everyone who sees or hears it is going to know God did this. This wasn't just something that would have happened anyway, and we as Christians attribute it to God. No, this is something that only God could do. I don't know about you, but I've many times had my finger close to that panic button, to pushing that panic button, and trying to resolve something in my strength, my flesh, instead of waiting on the Lord. Chuck Swindoll told this true story concerning panic buttons of Joe Gibbs, the head coach of the Washington Redskins. Joe's friend Frank looked out the window one morning, and there was his fateful Labrador retriever sitting on the front porch with something hanging from the dog's jaws. Closer look revealed it was the neighbor's pet rabbit. Frank panicked. What was he to do? His mind raced through the options and landed on one he thought was best. He pulled the rabbit from the dog's mouth and brought it into his kitchen. He washed off all the dirt and gunk, and he blew its hair dry with a hair dryer, and he put it. He took the dead creature. Was nice and fluffy. It said he took the dead rabbit back to the cage. He looked pretty good after he had washed him and shampooed him and dried him off with a hair dryer, and he crawled over the back fence and placed the dead rabbit back in his cage. He then slipped back through the darkness, hopped the fence, breathed a sigh of relief. His scheme seemed perfect until the next morning, when there was a loud banging on his front door. When Frank opened it, there was his neighbor with the dead rabbit clutched in his hand. "Frank," he said, "we have a real sicko in the neighborhood. My rabbit died 3 days ago, and I buried it in the backyard, and some nut dug it up, cleaned it off, and stuck it back in the hutch." You know, every time I push the panic button, I foul it up. I get out of God's timing. I fail to stand in patience and wait upon the Lord. I told someone the other day that was about to make a decision to give up a job, not to give that job up, not to just quit that day when they were so discouraged. You can quit any time, I told them. Why don't you pray and wait upon the Lord? Get rid of the anger. Get rid of the impatience. Get rid of the discouragement. Get rid of all that stuff and wait upon the Lord. You can always quit, but wait. Wait, give it time, and give God time. You may think you've given God enough time. You may think you've come to the end of your patience. But I'm telling you something. You need to go back to God's Word. Don't push that panic button today. Stand a little longer. Wait a little while longer. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, and it says, "They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." You know what that's saying? It's not just waiting and then the answer suddenly pops out of heaven into our life and that's all that happens, is just an answer comes. No, it's developing in a relationship with the Lord that is deeper and more confident than it could ever be had he not delayed that answer. You know what that word wait means back in the Old Testament? It's a Hebrew word. It means to bind together by twisting. Isn't that incredible? Bind together by twisting. It means while we are looking to the Lord, patiently enduring and standing in faith, we are actually getting so close to God through that process. You know, my trials have brought me into a closer relationship with the Lord than any of the blessings that I've ever got. And I've got some tremendous blessings in church services. I mean, where heaven came down and kissed the earth and I was right in the middle of the smack. Hallelujah. I mean, I've had some experiences of the presence of God. But there's a difference in experiencing His presence and power and knowing Him personally. And knowing Him enough to stand upon His Word, even when it looks like in every aspect of the circumstance that He is not answering, that He is not involved, that He somehow has turned His back and walked away. He has not. I know Him better than that. Even when my flesh begins to rise up and make me doubt, I can override that because I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep what I commit unto Him against that day. He's not, if He's able to keep my eternal soul, hallelujah, and I can trust Him for the day of judgment to come, hallelujah, I can trust Him with the trials of life, hallelujah, amen. These things that are meant to push us away from God can actually serve to bring us closer to the Lord. And one of the great things that happen is that when God delays, is that our relationship with Him is deepened. God deepens our faith. In both instances of Jesus' delay, the level of trust in Him was lifted. They already trusted Him to heal, but He showed him that they could trust Him for even more, the restoration of life. Where there was no longer any human reason to believe, Jesus urged them to believe anyway. Real faith operates when we have nothing to cling to but the bare promise of God. God uses delays to create situations in which, like muscles, our faith is exercised. Just as exercise strengthens our physical muscles, so the exercise of faith strengthens our spiritual muscles. Without a program of exercise imposed upon us through delay, we would never grow stronger. When God takes us through trials instead of delivering us always from them, we always come through victorious and stronger in faith and stronger in closeness to Him, because His delays display our helplessness. The greatest displays of God's power and faithfulness occur when it seems it's too late and all hope is gone. You know, the next morning after that Red Sea experience, to return to that, the next morning they're all looking to Moses, and Moses is looking to God. And there's absolutely, you've heard that old expression, between the devil and the deep blue sea. Well, this is between Pharaoh's army and the deep Red Sea. And Moses stands there, amen, looking to God, just nothing but God now. And God asked Moses, "What do you have in your hand?" You know, the people are complaining just before that event, and they're crying out, and all of this despair is coming forth, and doubt, and God told Moses, "Tell them to hold their peace. Tell them to be still. Be quiet." You know, there's a scripture that says, "Be still and know that I am God." And as a quiet fell over that whole congregation of people, all of Israel coming out of Egypt, God spoke then to Moses and said, "What do you have in your hand?" And he took Aaron's rod and he held it up. And God said, "Stretch it out over the sea." I'll tell you, God just asked him to do something anybody could do, holding this rod in their hand. Just stretch it out. Amen. God is not asking you to do the supernatural. God is asking us to do something by faith, a simple act of faith, so that he can do the supernatural. And he just stretched it out in obedience to God by faith. And when he did that, something happened. The Red Sea parted. And Moses never one time said, "Boy, by faith I wave a mean rod." No, he knew. He did a simple thing that God might do a mighty thing. Sometimes it feels like it's all on us. It is not. God simply asks you to trust him, to be obedient to whatever he tells you to do by faith, that he's going to be faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. That Red Sea parted by the power of God. Amen. And all Moses had to do was take what he had in his hand and stretch it out. Praise God, by faith. You know, discouragement will keep you from using what God has placed in your hand. One time, you know what he placed in a man's hand? He placed the jawbone of a donkey for him to fight 1,000 soldiers with. That's all he put him in his hand. But he took what God put in his hand and he used it by faith. And when he did, God's power came upon him. So when victories come, it's not attributed to Moses and his mighty arm, but to God and his mighty power. Not Samson and his great weapon, amen, but God and his mighty power upon Samson's life. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know what you have in your hand today. I don't know what God asks of you through your test and trial, but I know if you'll wait upon the Lord, you'll get closer to him. I know if you wait upon the Lord while he seemingly delays an answer, I know that the answer is going to come, and you're going to have a deeper faith as a process of, in the process of that answer coming. We come to the place that we joy in tribulations. Romans 5 says, 3 through 5, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us." I'm going to read that from the Amplified today. It says, "Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. And endurance or fortitude develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And the character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us." Remember the book of James, James chapter 1, to these Christians who had been under persecution, who were having to endure heavy trials and testings because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, the joy of receiving Jesus and the great victories he gave us, but now the persecution was very intense upon them. And they were having to face these things. There was no escaping of the trials and testings that were coming because they had received Jesus as their personal Savior. And James wrote to them to encourage them, and he said, "My beloved brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." He asked them to trust God through their trials, so that this great virtue, this essential to standing in our faith, to believing God until the answer comes, to waiting upon God's timing, amen, for the answer in spite of the circumstances, hallelujah, to that holding on, that perseverance, that tenacity, to just let God take us through rather than just wanting God to take us out. Praise God. He said, "Knowing this, the trying of your faith is going to bring forth this virtue. Let patience have her perfect work. Let God develop you in patience. Hallelujah. This is hard to do sometimes, to trust God through a trial, to take you through it instead of delivering you from it. But if we'll trust Him through it, we're going to come out the other side. The Bible said we're going to come out as pure gold. That means the impurities are going to be burned away. We're not going to be hurt. But that is detrimental to our walk with God, to our true faith, all of those things will be purged out of us. We'll develop in patience. We'll be able to wait, stand upon God's word until the answer comes. That way God can move in His timing for our good and for His glory. You may be going through a test right now that you don't understand. You're not the first one. Every Christian goes through times like that in our life. You may have come to an end of yourself, and that's okay. We are not supposed to lean upon our own understanding. We're not supposed to lean upon our own strength. The Apostle Paul said, "When I am weak, even through testing, then am I made strong, because there's nothing left but God. My faith is pure. There's none of me. It's only Him." But that's okay, because God is going to move mightily in times like that in my life. That's what Paul had learned. He said, "So you know the things that I ask God to be delivered from?" He said, "You know, I don't pray that way anymore. I just trust God in the midst of my trial. And when that trial comes, I know that I'm going to get closer to God, and God is going to come through somehow, and I'm just going to stand, hallelujah. And I'm going to take pleasure in the things that once I saw as so painful, because I'm going to find a joy in knowing that God is in this trial. God is in this fiery furnace. God is in this thing, hallelujah. And when I come through, He's going to be glorified. His name is going to be praised, hallelujah. And I'm going to be standing strong at the end of this trial, not wore out, wore down, and defeated, but standing tall in Jesus Christ." If it wasn't for the fiery furnace, no one would have ever heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego hardly. They'd have been historical figures that were taken into Babylon maybe, and maybe there'd be a little snippet about them in the Bible. But what really brought God's glory to the forefront and made these three famous was that they wouldn't bow to false gods even when they were cast into a fiery furnace. And I love what they said in the face of such test and trial. They said to the king that our God that we serve is able to deliver us from this furnace, but whether He delivers us from it or not, we're not bowing to any other god. What kind of endurance and stand upon the word was that? They said He can take us out of this trial, or He can take us through it. But one thing is for sure, our trust is in Him, and we won't bow to any other. And God took them through it. Praise God. He brought them out, the Bible said, without even the smell of smoke. Because there was what? Just a deliverance? No, because there was a fourth man that came to them in the midst of that furnace. You see, God wants us to know Jesus better through our trials and tests. He wants Jesus to be our mainstay. Not just standing on the Word because it's the Word, but standing on the Word because the Word assures us that we are not alone in this stand. Christ comes to us. Paul, who said, "I can do nothing in myself," said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." And I can tell you today, the only reason I'm standing after all of these years is because I have cried out to God, and Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, has come to help me, to strengthen me. You know, He said, "Lo, I am with you always." And I'm closer to Jesus today than I could have or would have ever been if the trials had not come to my life, and if God had not delayed the answer just long enough for me to get closer to the Lord. Amen. There's a song that says, "I'm wrapped up, tied up, all tangled up in Jesus." Praise God. Well, that's the way I feel today. Amen. I wait upon the Lord. This word means to bind together by twisting. And I went through so many trials, even when I'm not being tried. I feel a desperate need for Jesus. Because I know if I drift away from that kind of dependence, I'm sure to fail. But if I wait upon the Lord, I renew my strength. and mount up with wings as an eagle. Run and not be weary, walk and not faint. If you don't know Jesus today, call upon His name. Invite this one who said, I won't leave you, into your life. Never face a trial again without the Lord. And never face eternity with any fear, because your soul will be saved. Until next week, this is Pastor Robert saying to you, we love you. Come back again and let's talk about Jesus Christ. God bless you.